The Mass is the most beautiful thing this side of heaven. I truly believe that. I truly believe that the Mass is the most beautiful thing this side of heaven because of what the Mass is. The Mass is our thanksgiving and praise of God, our act of worship, giving thanks to Him who gives us every good gift, who gives us the gift of life that we have right this moment. The Mass is the sacrificial memorial of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ is made present on this altar, and we are fed from that sacrifice. And the Mass is the presence of Christ among His people, in His Word, in the priest, in the community, and in the Eucharist. The Mass is the most beautiful thing this side of heaven because in it we fulfill Jesus' command at the Last Supper: do this in memory of me. And until one day, please God, we are in heaven, this is the closest we can be to God while on this earth. Unfortunately, we can focus a lot of time on what we encounter in church and at Mass that's not beautiful. A missed note in a hymn, dirt on the floor, a light bulb out in the ceiling, the person next to me who keeps chatting, a homily that goes on too long. But we don't have those here, so you won't focus on those. No. And we have recently together experienced something that we once thought was unthinkable. We were physically not able to come to Mass. Moving through that experience of not being at Mass every Sunday, I hope was an opportunity to focus again on what the Mass is and its beauty, and why we want to participate in person at Mass each Sunday. Beginning today and moving through the next 5 weeks, we are going to take a look at the Mass and what the Mass is, why it matters, and why we do some of the things that we do at Mass. Today, we begin reading from the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, which is known as the Bread of Life Discourse, in which Jesus gives his teaching on the Eucharist, on his body and blood in Holy Communion. And it is through those scriptures that we are going to take a look at the Mass. I say 5 weeks, but it's actually 4, because the solemnity of the Assumption will fall in the middle of this. But it's a perfect opportunity for us to consider the beauty of the Mass and what it means. John's 6th chapter opens with the story we heard in today's Gospel, the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle. Jesus performs a miracle to prepare the crowd, to get their attention, to tell them that something's happening, because he wants to move them deeper. He wants to move them from that surface level of the miracle into a deeper level of understanding of what he really wants to give them, which is his body and blood in the Eucharist. So this miracle has the function of preparation, of preparing the crowd. So when we come to Mass, we too have to be prepared for the Mass. We have to be prepared for the miracle. Because the first thing that we offer at Mass is ourselves. We offer back to God the gift of us. And so we have to be prepared to make that offering. Notice in the Gospel reading that there was one boy who was prepared. One person thought to bring food for the day's outing. And Jesus uses that preparation to perform this miracle. So how are we prepared for the offering of ourselves at the Mass? Well, One way that we do that is by arriving to Mass on time, or preferably early. When we're scurrying in at the last minute or after the Mass has begun, we don't have an opportunity to quiet our hearts and our minds, to focus on what's going on. Because we want to come early, we want to find our seat, we want to find some time for prayer before the Mass begins, to kneel down and to make an intention, to make an intention for why we are at Mass, for what we want to offer in the Mass. Each of you offers the Mass, so you can have an intention for my spouse, for my children, for my friend who's sick, for the souls in purgatory, whatever it might be. Just as I have the intention that we read, you all can have an intention for the Mass. We should also take a look at the readings before we come to church. It's the rare person who's able to hear something once and totally comprehend it. So we don't want to hear the readings for the first time when they're proclaimed during the Mass. You might do that at home, or you might take a look at the hymnal as you're waiting for the Mass to begin, to give the readings a once over so that you can have ears open to hear them when they're proclaimed. And as much as possible before the Mass begins, we want to avoid the chit-chat because it's distracting. It's distracting to us and to others who are trying to prepare for Mass. Yes, I know we want to greet our church friends. We want to be friendly and say hello, and that's fine. That's a great thing. But we want to avoid any sort of extended conversations inside the church. The narthex, the area in front of the church, before or after Mass, are all perfect times to catch up with our church friends and to find out what's going on. And to be prepared to offer myself as a sacrifice in this Mass, we also want to consider our physical appearance. Does what I wear to Mass indicate that I think something important is happening here? Yes, we're very happy that everyone's here. What we wear shouldn't be an obstacle to coming to Mass. But that question is an important one. Do I reflect what I believe is happening here at Mass? So just as we prepare ourselves for the offering of the Mass, the first part of the Mass itself is preparatory. They're called the introductory rites. They have the effect of preparing and introducing the Mass. The introductory rites are made up of the procession and the hymn, the confession of sin, the Gloria, and the collect. All the parts that precede the readings. The processional hymn has the function of opening up the celebration. It gathers us together. It introduces us to the liturgical season or to the theme of the readings. And it accompanies the procession. A lot of people ask me, why do we have to sing in church? I don't like to sing in church. Well, singing and music have an integral part of the offering of the Mass. When our hearts are full of joy, we want to raise our voices to God. When we cut ourselves off from the hymn, when we refuse to participate, it's like saying we don't have joy in our heart that overflows to the gift of music. Now, I don't have the greatest singing voice in the world, but I figure if God gave me that voice, he doesn't mind hearing it. So I'm going to sing. Because our hearts are full of joy, we offer that as a sacrifice. We offer our singing as a sacrifice to God. As the procession comes down the aisle and the priest and the deacon enter the sanctuary, you may notice that we kiss the altar. We kiss the altar at the beginning of the Mass. And lots of folks ask, why do you kiss the altar? Well, the altar itself is a symbol of Christ. The altar is anointed by the bishop with holy oil. And so the altar becomes a symbol of Christ in the midst of his people. That's why the altar is in the center of the sanctuary, because Christ is in the center. It is Christ himself who presides over the Mass. The priest acts in his person by virtue of his ordination, but it is Christ who celebrates the Mass, he who offers himself as a sacrifice. So the altar as a symbol of Christ we reverence with a kiss because we love it. We love the presence of Christ. And we also reverence the altar with a kiss because there's a relic of a saint in our altar. The early Christians would celebrate the Eucharist on the tombs of their deceased brethren, the deceased martyrs in the catacombs. And as the church came out of the catacombs, they kept the custom of celebrating the Mass on top of a relic of a saint. So enshrined in our altar is the relic of St. John Leland. John Leland was a companion of St. Isaac Jogues. He was a lay Jesuit brother who came to the missions in North America and ultimately died as a martyr. So we're also reverencing his relic in the altar with that kiss. Then as the Mass opens, we have the penitential act. We confess our sins in the confiteor, I confess to Almighty God, or the deacon leads us in a confession of sin. It's a symbol that we're not worthy, that we want, as our sacrifice is offered, we want to acknowledge that fact before God. And then we sing or say the Gloria. The Gloria is an ancient hymn of praise to the Holy Trinity. I say it's ancient because it goes back to the song that the angels sang on the first Christmas night. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on whom his favor rests. And finally, the opening prayer, or what we call the collect. The collect has the function of actually collecting everything that's come before it, the hymn, our confession of faith, confession of sins, our singing of the Gloria. It brings all of that together and offers it up to God as an opening prayer for the Mass. It's then that after we are prepared, after it has been introduced, that we sit down for the first major part of the Mass, the Liturgy of the Word. My friends, the Mass is the most beautiful thing this side of heaven. And over the next few Sundays, we're going to unfold the other parts of the Mass and their meaning. The hope is that the more we understand what happens at the Mass, the more we will desire to be here and to understand what a privilege it is to be here. The more we will want to make the Mass a place where we want and desire to be. I pray that you will join us, be with us, as we continue to unfold this Eucharistic teaching of Jesus in John chapter 6, and unfold as well the mystery of the Mass, the most beautiful thing this side of heaven.